Thank you for being here this morning. It's an honor to always come and assemble together in obedience to His Word. God is a good God.
Amen.
And He's taking care of us every day. And who remembers what book we were in before last Sunday? Yeah, not last Sunday, it was Mother's Day, but the Sunday before that.
Hebrews.
Amen. So we want to go back to Hebrews. And I thank God for leading me. He knows what we need. And as we were talking about, Hebrews is that book that doesn't have an author, even though the penmanship was similar to Paul, but the reason that no one gives credit for this is because I believe this was the book that God wanted everybody to know that He wrote. Of course, we know He wrote all of them, inspired men, but He wanted this one to be segregated to the point that He wanted us to know He wrote it. As I studied this book and as I've gone back and restudied it, I hear God's voice telling us that it's critical in these last hours that we learn to hear His voice. I can't stress to you enough about your relationship with God. Your relationship with God should be the most important thing in your life. Because without Him, we're nothing. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, you got to learn to lean on Him. And the only way to do that is to know His voice. God is a God that's alive and He's real. And He guides us through this world as we listen to His voice. Last week, or the week before, you remember I said that great leaders are, first of all, great listeners. If we're to accomplish anything for God, we're going to have to learn to listen. And that's the reason that there's so many distractions today. So I want to go back to Hebrews chapter 1 and cover a couple of verses, and then we're going to go to 2 Peter, and then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians this morning, Lord willing. As God here says, God, who that is the author of this book, who at sundry times and diverse manners. Now, what does those words mean? Sundry times means that God spoke to them at different times, various times. And diverse manners means He did it in different ways. So as we begin to read this book, we understand that you've got to be willing to listen to God, because God's way of dealing with you may change. Now, God never changes. We know that, but His methods change. We had one burning bush in the Bible. We had one crossing of the Red Sea in the Bible. God did it one time because that's what He chose to do. But it's going to be very critical. And I want you to know this. When I'm gone, when I'm dead and gone, I hope people will remember me as a man who preached the Word. Because I want you to know that Northview, and I'm very proud of this, is a Bible-believing church. We believe the Word. Now, you say, well, why do you make such a simple statement like that? Because we live in a time now where the Word has been faded out. Even in church services, the Word has been faded out, and a lot of other things replace that. But I want to say this to you very clearly. Nothing takes the place of you reading and studying the Word. Now, what we're blessed about in America today is that we have all types of resources. If you don't have time to sit down and physically read, you can buy CDs, you can plug it in your car, you can listen on the way to work. The key of it is, You don't need to go a day without receiving the word. Because God spoke in many different ways and many different times. And it says here, He spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. So God has always had an order. God's always had an order. And today He speaks to us through His word. Hath in the last days spoken unto us by His Son, who He appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being in the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person. So that tells me to know God is to know His word. To know His presence is to know His word. Because His word is His presence. If you want to touch God today, get your Bible and lay your hand on it. And guess what? You're touching God. Because the word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Do you remember that scripture? God is His Word, and it said, who being in the brightness of His glory, which means His presence, the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the Word of His power, when He hath by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. You don't see anywhere else where God sits down till there. He finished the work on the cross. The work is finished. I like verse 4 said, being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So the writer is telling us that God is continually speaking to His persons, people. So I want to begin by this saying today, how does God speak to us? Number one, you must learn to walk in discernment. Now, what is discernment? Discernment is filtering. You know, on the computers today, if you want to find something, they got all kind of filters on there, and you can punch in a certain name or whatever, and it'll filter it out for you. It'll segregate all the other things, and you just get one word. The thing that God's people are going to have to learn in these last days, because we are full of distractions, you're going to have to learn to walk in discernment. Now, discernment is a very powerful name, very powerful word, because discernment involves commitment. Discernment involves love to God. When you love Him, the Word says you'll keep His commandments. But we all have difficulty at times during the day. And so God is teaching us through His Word that we must learn discernment. As you fall in love with the Word, this is some old-timey preaching right here, you're going to fall less in love with the world. Amen? When you fall in love with His Word, things in the world won't seem as appealing to you. Because the Word is the key to His voice. And you need His voice if you're raising children, if you're working a job, if you're trying to maintain a household, if you're paying bills, if you're trying to stay healthy, you need His Word. God, give us this day our daily bread. Amen. That is the Word. So I want you to hold your finger there in Hebrews and take a right, if you will, and go with me to the book of 2 Peter. Now I'm going to read something to you here that you're going to already know. But faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word. And I want to grow your faith today, because nothing in your life should take precedence over the Word of God. Every decision you make should be based on the Word of God. Every move you make should be based on what does God say. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21 says this. Everybody there? Yeah. All right. It says, knowing this first. Now you see, I take every word in the Bible because I believe every word's critical. So it says, know this first, that no prophecy. Now it said, in writer Hebrews, it said that God spoke to the prophets. God always had a resource to deliver His word. It was important to God that people knew His voice. Go all the way back to the garden. Go all the way back to the garden. What did God do? He met with His people and He spoke to them. Amen? That was so important to God that in the cool of the day He would come down and He would dwell with Adam and Eve. And the enemy knew how critical that was, and so he came in the middle of that and separated that relationship. Let me tell you something. If you desire to serve God and you desire to be what God wants you to be, get ready for a fight. Because the fight of faith is just that, it's a fight of faith. You're not going to walk in faith easily. You're not going to walk in the presence of God easily. You're not just going to receive of God easily, because there's always an adversary roaring and seeking whom he may devour. Now, how does the enemy devour us? He separates us from his word. When you start going through situations in your life, what's the first words you hear? You hear, well, how are you going to do it? How are you going to make it? How in the world are you going to handle all this? Knowing that God already said, I'm going to take care of you. I'm sealed to you. I'm in covenant with you. I give my blood to seal that covenant. How many of you know that's what God said? But there's a voice on this side that's saying, yeah, but maybe he didn't mean it for you. And so you begin to walk in confusion. And you begin to walk. That's why we must have discernment. Look what it said here. Knowing this first. You got to know it. You got to know and you know her. You got to know and you know her. I'm going to say it again. You got to know and you know her. Because when you know something, you know something. And somebody can come to you and tell you, oh, that's not right. I'm sorry, sir. I know what I'm talking about. I know it. Know this first. Look what it says. That no prophecy of the Scripture. Now, there you go. That's the power of it right there. Because we live in a day, everybody's prophets. Amen? So, this is some good stuff right here. No prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Oh, there were just men who wrote those Scriptures down. They were just men. They wrote down what they thought. They wrote down how they felt. No, they didn't. They were men, but they were moved on by the Holy Spirit. Look what it says. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man. How many in here knows how long it took to write the Bible? About 1600 years. The letters that you've got in this Bible were written by men long after Christ had ascended back to the Father. But it moved on them years later, and they put all this together. You remember when you've heard in the Bible the law and the prophets, the law and the prophets. That's what they used to call the Old Testament. We call it the Old Testament, but that's what they called the Old Testament then. They didn't call it the Old Testament then. They said the law and the prophets. About 1600 years. But it's saying here that not in old time by the will of man, but the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, what's the importance of that? Men were consumed with the voice of God. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were just ordinary men who had encountered a relationship with the greatest man they'd ever known, Jesus. And now he's going back to the Father, and they're just living their life, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes on them. God says, you need to write down what you received. And so they begin to do that. I want to tell you this, very simply, very clearly. You will not move forward with God without learning to listen to Him. The biggest danger in America today is religion. What do you mean? Here's what I mean. There's a form of godliness, but it denies the power. Being religious and going through the motions will not send you to heaven. What sends us to heaven? A relationship with God. Just going to church. Just being there on Sunday. It's amazing. Me and one of my best friends we go to Hardy's on Sunday morning before church, and we just fellowship. And if you go there a little early, you can hear about every church in town. You hear about every church in town. It's amazing to me that what they talk about. I don't hear God. I don't hear what God's doing. I don't hear the moving of the Spirit. I don't hear none of that. I hear a lot of other stuff. It's easy to get wrapped up in the form. It's easy to just go through the motions, and I'm a good person. If you ask anybody, well, are you saved? Well, I'm a good person. Well, we're all good at certain times, aren't we? Amen? We're all good at certain times, and we're all bad sometimes, because that's the flesh in us. So that's why we have grace and mercy and love and all that. But these men were moved because they were consumed by the voice of God. And if we're going to get anywhere with God, why does the Bible say that wide is the gate and narrow is the way to heaven? Why does he say that? There's churches all over America today. There's hundreds and thousands of churches and hundreds and thousands of people going to church. Why did God say that few? Because few people know the voice of the shepherd. I love you enough to tell you we got a great church here. We got a great building. We got a great heritage here. But this heritage was not built on a building. It was not built on land. It was built on God's word. That's why we're still standing today. Amen? Your forefathers, your grandmothers and fathers and all that who walked in the word. You remember years ago, can I preach to you a little bit old-timey this morning? Do you remember that our grandmas and granddaddies walked in one word? Conviction. What was that conviction? And I'm going to tell you what, your grandmama and your granddaddy, when they had a conviction, they stuck to it, didn't they? And why did they have a conviction? Because they had prayed and the Lord spoke to their heart and said, I don't want you doing this, or I do want you to do this, or you can't do this, you can't do that. Whatever their conviction was. And what I'm saying is, we don't get convictions unless we learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. I want to say something to you this morning that's old-fashioned as it can be. But you can't do everything and be everything and walk with God. That's pretty old-fashioned right there. Samson thought he could do anything and be anything, laid his head in the lap of Delilah and just gave up his secret and done everything. And then he got up and walked to fight like he'd always did and didn't have no power. I want to tell you what's needed in the church today. What's needed in the church today is power. And power only comes through God's voice. If you want power in your life, you start reading. Well, I don't have time. I'm so busy. I get up at I get up, I got to be to work at a certain time, and I get up just enough time to get there. That ain't for y'all, that's somebody else. But we don't take time, we take time for what we want. We'll stand in line for 2 hours to go eat somewhere, crowded, bumping all into one another. And you don't know what you eat when you leave. But we won't take time to come to church because we don't have time. I'm meddling now. Let me go on. Amen? Amen because I'm meddling or amen? All right. Now, go to 2 Corinthians. You need to take a left now. Go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Don't you love the word? I do. Jesus is the final expression of the heart of God. When you see Jesus, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's what he said. And we're going to talk about something. I want you to get this in your spirit right now. There's a lot of voices today. There's a lot of voices. And learning to hear the voice of God takes discipline. We don't like that word. We like convenience. But God's given us convenience. You can throw a CD in the tape. You can hit the whole Bible on a CD. Now we got our phones. You can get everything on the phone. You can get Hong Kong, whatever you want. You can get it on your phone. Everything on your phone. You can get the Word of God on your phone. So if you don't have time, and I understand, amen. See, she's got it on her phone. You get the Bible on your phone. You got all kind of apps, this and apps, that. So God said there's no reason why you can't know the Word. Look at 2 Corinthians. Are you there? Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I love 2 Corinthians. Corinthians were a very sophisticated group of people. So Paul had to deal with them a little bit different. But he said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now, why are people doing anything for God today? It's not because God's not speaking, it's just we're not listening. Every one of us have a ministry. You know what that ministry is? The ministry of mercy. How many of you in here today, don't raise your hand, but just think about it, has been given the ministry of mercy because if it had not been for the mercy and grace of God, you wouldn't be here today. Amen? So we've got a ministry right there. Well, I don't know the Bible. Doesn't matter. I don't know how to speak in front of people. Doesn't matter. I don't know how to sing. Doesn't matter. Tell what you know. Because somebody needs to hear what you know. But you got to be willing to hear God when you're standing in food line waiting to check out. You got to be willing to hear God speak to you and say, speak to that lady in front of you and tell her it's going to be all right. God's going to help her make it. Well, I don't know her. Doesn't matter if you know her. You just be obedient to God and listen to Him. She'll know exactly what you're talking about. So it says here that we have received mercy, we faint not. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, it's going to be important that you don't faint. But have renounced, get this now, the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Now you got to understand the Corinthian church to understand what in the world Paul's talking about right here. Because they were very sophisticated people and they thought they were super spiritual. And they thought they walked on water and they thought they could do anything they wanted to do. So they used their spirituality against one another. Paul said, you need to learn to renounce. Let me tell you what you can do. When you're walking in with God and you're listening to God, something comes on TV that's not right. Something comes on the radio that's not right. Something that you're involved in is not right. Guess what? The Holy Spirit's going to tell you, you don't need to listen to that. And you have the power because of mercy and grace that God's given to you to say, I renounce that. I'm not listening to that. Sometimes at lunch, when you're walking, when you're around all those foul-mouthed people, you need to just get your little mess up from the table and go to your car or whatever and sit by yourself instead of listening to all that mess. And when they start telling you, why'd you get up? Are you too holy for that? Yeah, matter of fact, I am, because I'm not going to sit there and listen to all that garbage. If you want to talk about something worth talking about, I'll sit with you. But I will not receive that mess inside of me. Let me tell you something. You can't be free if you take in everything that you hear. You want to get depressed? Let me tell you a good way to get depressed real quick. Go turn on the news. There's a 3% factor in life. I preach this, I teach this on at work. There's 3%. What does that mean? 3% of the world is not going to like nothing you do. They're going to criticize everything you do. 3%. Young people, listen to this. Where you go to school at, 3% is not going to like you. I know it's their loss, but they're not going to like you. No matter what you do. No matter what kind of clothes you wear. No matter what kind of tennis shoes you wear. No matter how you wear your hair, they're not going to like it. So why in the world, I was telling the owner of my company the other day, she's all freaking out because we had one lady that ordered from us 2 boxes in 1 year, big spender, and she criticized and she's all freaked out. I said, I cannot believe you, a CEO and an owner, going to sit there in front of me freaking all out because of what one has been said to you. You know, I'm full of grace and mercy. Y'all know that. I said, how in the world are you going to sit there and let that one person ruin your whole day? 3% of people is not going to like you. They ain't going to like nothing we do. But why do we focus on the 3% when you've got 90-some percent that loves you? Does that make sense to anybody this morning? And the enemy's going to sit there and dwell on that. And that's what Paul is saying. My time is gone, but I want you to know. He said, you got to learn to renounce some things. You got to learn to say, that TV, you know, there's some stuff comes on TV now. I can't help it. I'm old-fashioned. I just can't help it. It is embarrassing to have your children and your grandchildren sitting in there and you just watching a commercial and the junk that comes on. You can't even watch commercials no more. Tom and Jerry's about the only thing safe anymore. And then I'm wondering how that's going to work out later. But you know what? You can't let everything. Oh, you got to get this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Everybody, please get this if you don't get nothing else. Young people, want you to get this. Everybody don't have the right to speak in. Let me tell you something, sister. I got a word from you. I got a word from you. Hold on. You know, everybody's got a word today. Hey, man, I got a word. See, I walk on top of the ground. I float. I don't buy shoes because I don't wear them out because I float everywhere because I'm so spiritual. Now, there are some people that's got a word from you, for you. And when they give you that word, it'll resonate with what God's already told you. That's something else. Please get this. Please get this. Everybody don't have the right to speak into you. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. God lives in you. You guard what's in you. And when something comes on that TV or something comes on at your school, young people or somebody in the halls talking about this party and all what they're going to do and all that, you just keep on walking. Because you know what? They wish they could be like you, but they're not man enough or woman enough to be like you. I love these young people. You know what? They come to church and they're sit there. They don't bother nobody. They just sit right there and they listen. I love y'all. I'm proud of y'all. And I'm proud of all of y'all, because y'all could be at the beach today and everywhere else like everybody else is. But it takes something to denounce something. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings deliberately. But sometimes you just got to walk away. We're talking about listening to God. And I'm going to throw a word out here that's not even talked about no more. They said if you want to draw a crowd, don't talk about this word. Seriously, I'm telling y'all the truth. If you want to grow a church, don't talk about this word. But I'm going to talk about this word, holiness. Y'all remember that? Some of the older saints here, y'all remember that word? But all I know is what the Bible says. Without what? Don't leave me hanging now. I'm on a roll. Don't leave me hanging. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Isn't that what the Bible says? Work with me, y'all. Come on. That's what it says anyway. So what it means is, I'm going to read this and then we're going to go. Renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. When God speaks to you and tells you not to do something, don't do it. David was told, don't number the people. You remember that? Those of you who studied the Bible? Why? Because God had already numbered the people. The stars and the sands of the sea. You remember that scripture? Stars representing the Jews and the sand representing the Gentiles. God's saying, I've already numbered. David, you don't need to number. You don't need to worry about the battle. The battle's not yours, it's me. I'll take care of that. What does David do? David was human. Everybody wants to beat on David. He ain't no different than us. He's human. He numbered them. God said, because you numbered them, people are going to lose their life and people started dying. And David saw his people die, and God said, because you were disobedient. You were disobedient. Let me tell you something this morning. Nothing in your life is more important than hearing God. Sometimes when you're riding to work and you're listening, sometimes you got to turn the radio off. Sometimes you got to turn everything off. Sometimes you got to just push away everything. And say, God, speak to me. If you're having a problem today and you're going through difficulty, sometimes you just got to say, Lord, I don't know how to do this, and I need your help. Because if you're not careful, your mind will get so full. Have you ever had your mind so full, you were so confused about what to do, and all you need to do is stop and listen? God's speaking to us in Hebrews right here. I don't know how long we're going to be here. I'll try not to be in it too long, but God is speaking to us through this word because I love you. We're in the last days and Jesus is coming soon. And I want my people here at Northview to be ready when the Lord comes. I don't want you to be distracted with all this other stuff that's going on in the world. I want you to hear what God says. So that when you hear something that looks like God, but it don't sound like God, you'll know it's not God. Because it's not the Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, for who you are and what you are. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God that cares for us and loves us and is with us and abides with us, and most of all, talks to us. Lord, I love you so much, and I thank you that you are a rock of ages. You are a rock of ages. And I thank you for who you are, Lord. Our last song today is Rock of Ages. And I'm going to tell you something. He's a rock. Page 243. He's a rock today. Young people, he's a rock. Older people, he's a rock. Amen. Would you stand to your feet as we sing this first verse? Rock of Ages, 243. Thank you, Lord, for being a rock of ages. Thank you, Lord, for being a God that speaks to us in times of need. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you today.